O Lord, bless these words, and bless our ears and our hearts and our minds to be open to your word of truth. Through your Spirit, through these words, we pray as your children, in Jesus' name. Early in their history, the people of Israel had no king. And they wanted a king. They prayed to God, and they wanted a king to be like the other nations and to help fight their wars and to help lead them. They wanted a king. God had sent a prophet and said, you don't really want a king. A king is going to tax your industry and your farms. And a king is going to call your young men to be warriors. And you're going to have to pay tribute, and you don't really want a king. The people wanted a king anyway, and God gave them a king. And they had a number of kings. Some were good, and some were horrible. There were some kings that let their power just take hold of them. They just were power hungry and played the power game and used their power to enforce their rule, not necessarily caring for the needs of the people. Throughout the Old Testament, there are images of shepherds to be like kings, or kings to be like shepherds was one of the images used, that a good king would be like a shepherd for the people, would gather them, would feed them, protect them, fight their enemies. And we think of King David, but actually even before David, there was some of this imagery, but in King David we see the culmination of this idea of shepherd as king. David was the shepherd. He was a little kid. When the prophet came to anoint a future king, if you remember the story, David told the brothers, they were all brought to the prophet, and this one was tall, and this one was handsome, but the prophet said, no, not this one, not this one. And finally, he said, have you no other sons? And they said, well, yeah, the little kid, David, but he's out watching the sheep. And the prophet said, bring him in, I want to see. And that was the one that God had chosen. The little one of the family, the little kid watching the sheep, low man on the totem pole, was the one that God had wanted and anointed to be the future king. King David was the servant of God, did a lot of good things, but even David kind of let his power get away from him and do some bad things. You know, the time that he saw this beautiful woman and he decided to send Bathsheba, to send her husband Uriah into battle, a suicide mission so that Uriah would die and the king would get Bathsheba as a wife. And so even King David, good as he was, sometimes let power get the best of him and let it corrupt him. And in every society since, there has been good kings and bad kings, good leaders and bad leaders. And each of us might have a different list of who the good ones are and who the bad ones are. But God wanted us to have a shepherd, a leader that cared for the sheep. A leader who knew that his job was to care for the sheep, to fight their enemies, not to just impose his rules. We often think of the 23rd Psalm as a great image building. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, God is my shepherd. And again, it brings this theology and this idea of kingship back to the idea that God is our king. God is our shepherd, the Lord. That's what David's writing about. He knew nothing about Jesus. Jesus was hundreds of years after this psalm was written. But David was writing that the Lord God is our shepherd, is our king. The Lord God takes care of our enemies. The Lord God feeds us and leads us beside still waters and tries to lead us to good pastures. And when a pasture is toxic, the Lord will lead us out of it. And then along comes Jesus, hundreds of years after this image-building psalm that we still love today, the 23rd Psalm. And Christians, after Jesus' death and resurrection, and after the church was developing, Christians realized Jesus was that shepherd for us. And in our first lesson, when God had promised to send a good shepherd to the people, and the early Christians saw Jesus was the one. God sent Jesus to help us and show us the way. When Jesus arrived at the scene, they didn't all recognize him as the good shepherd. They didn't all recognize him as the person from God. Very few considered him the Messiah, and even that's towards the end of his ministry, with maybe some of the disciples catching on. But Jesus taught and led and fed and nourished the flock the way a shepherd does. And so we put Jesus in that role. We often call Jesus the good shepherd. And he is our help. Well, Jesus was with his disciples. And the last few weeks in the lectionary, again, Jesus had sent the disciples out two by two to do their mission, their ministry, their missionary work, to kind of carry on what Jesus had taught them, to show them, because Jesus knew that he wasn't going to be here on earth forever in bodily form, and so he was trying to teach the disciples, so he sent them out. And a few weeks ago, we had that lesson, and then now they're gathered, and they're getting back, and they're so busy sharing all of what they'd seen and done on their missionary journeys. And can you imagine, maybe a Sunday morning, and as all of us have been busy during the week in our individual ministries, and in our neighborhoods, and our families, and out and about town, and maybe there have been some church congregation events and ministries going on, and Sunday morning we gather and catch up with each other. Did you see what happened? Or did God was with me when I did this? And just sharing all that joy and excitement. Jesus noticed they were kind of on that adrenaline high, and they were kind of almost workaholic, and Jesus told them, take a break. Get away by yourselves. Take some time to process this. Now, telling the story was important, but also we, as human beings, need to process the things. That's the spiritual homework that we're called to do every day, to process the joys and the griefs and all the things that we go through, the fears and the successes, the power and the weakness, and to spiritually process that each day. And Jesus saw the disciples needed. And so he sent them in a boat and they go to the other side. But lo and behold, there's crowds around. And they see where the disciples are going. And they get to the beach before the disciples, and Jesus has compassion on them. And our word compassion comes from a Greek word, and it really means to suffer with. Passion, the suffering, come together. Jesus knew their suffering. And it says in our gospel that he saw they were like sheep without a shepherd. Like people without a leader. Can you imagine the chaos that we would have if we didn't have any leaders, if we didn't have any political leaders or religious leaders or even business leaders, if there were no clear leaders, we'd be in anarchy. Jesus saw that these people were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he taught. And he healed. And he still was trying to give his disciples a break so that they could do their spiritual homework and process. Different people follow Jesus for different reasons. There are probably some that heard after his feedings of the multitude, this guy can make bread out of nothing, if feed people, even when there's no food, and let's go follow him so we don't have to go hungry. And there were probably some people who tried to follow Jesus so that they knew that they wouldn't be hungry. And there are others who had heard about his healing power and followed him because he's like the doctor who always is able to heal you. And so people followed him. Some people followed him for the healing. Some people heard his teachings, his parables, his wisdom, and they saw him as a wise man, and we could learn a lot and grow a lot, and some followed him for the wisdom. and some of his deeds of power, that John, the gospel, often focuses on the deeds of power. And yet, some people follow Jesus because power is, it's like a drug. We humans crave power. We always wish we had more power to have our will be done, our decision, our thoughts, our agenda, our priorities. And in every society, in every group, there's often a conflict. Whose way? Who gets their way? Jesus tried to teach us beyond that, out of that, to lead us as a shepherd, so the whole flock could go together and graze together and move on to better places together. Jesus didn't succumb to the temptation that often people with power have to get more power, to take your power and invest it and have more power to be able to do more of the things you think need to be done. Jesus was always trying to turn people to God as a shepherd. Jesus was trying to turn people to God as the Father. One of Jesus' radical teachings, and he had many, but one of the most radical that kind of slipped by us is when he taught the disciples to pray and said, when you pray, pray like this. And he didn't start, O God, King of heaven and earth, or O God, Lord of almighty creation. And to this day, that's often how we want to start prayers. But Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father. We're back to a more informal daddy. Jesus didn't want the power over people's lives. Jesus wanted them to turn to God, that God was their shepherd. God is the shepherd who's always there, always awake, always there with healing and able to feed us and nourish us. In fact, when they came to take Jesus and make him king on a couple of different occasions, he would end up leaving town, or some are convinced that Judas tried to put Jesus up, figuring that when Jesus is in jail, then he'll start the rebellion. But Judas was wrong. Jesus was not that kind of king, not that kind of power of rebel. And Jesus is God's way of trying to teach us not to love power for power's sake. Not to try to get our own power or cozy up to someone else who has power so that they can fight our battles and they can do the things we want done. But to see God as our power, our shepherd, our daddy, our king. That our first allegiance is to our God. Every society has different ways of governance. And there are kings, there are presidents, prime ministers, parliaments. Every society needs some way to kind of have order. But ultimately, God is the king of all creation. God is our king and our father. Gave us life. Gives us identity. Gives us purpose. Otherwise, we're just human beings now out to work and raise our families and live our lives, but God gives us purpose beyond that, meaning beyond that, destiny beyond that. And Jesus tried to teach his disciples and us. That's what it's all about. Look to God as a shepherd. Let God be our king. Oh yeah, there will be other kings in the meantime, presidents, and we need to follow our government and our order and work with it and change it as we can. But ultimately, our true allegiance is to our God. He is our King. He is our good shepherd. And Jesus is God's example. If God were human, Jesus is what it would. And Jesus, God became human to show us how to live as children of the Heavenly Father. But Jesus had compassion for these crowds like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion for his disciples. Didn't want them overworking. Wanted them to have time and take a rest and process. And not just get caught up in the power that God had given. And so he is people of God, 2,000 years after Jesus, trying to continue and carry on his ministry, God's ministry, to all of humanity, to care for one another, to lead as a shepherd leads, and not to just chase the power, not to put our trust in warriors or war horses or weapons or kings, but to put our trust in God. Because God knows that's hard for us humans to do. But Jesus shows, if we follow, he'll take care of us. He took care of the disciples. God loves us all. He wants us to spread that love to every single person we know. It's a tough call. An impossible ministry. God promises to help us. Let us pray. Heavenly Shepherd, as you shepherd us and feed us and lead us and guide us, teach us how to share your love and show your love and give your love to others, that they too will know you as their shepherd, as their king, as their dad. Help us, Lord, to live lives of love so that others see you in us and look to you. We pray these things, Heavenly Father, as your children, because Jesus told us so.